You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
It is a cold January the 5th. The snow came a little bit late, didn't it? If only it came last week, we would have had a white Christmas. Thank you so much, Jane. But here we are. And yes, as declared in our start of the service, this is the year we are moving into the building. In Jesus' name, and not just the year, but we're believing the next bunch of weeks you're going to get an email and we're going to be shifting things, moving things, and we're going to be heading over across the road, which is very exciting. If you're observant, you would have saw already that they've taken down their signs. It no longer says the Sanctuary Group because it's going to say Audacious Church. Praise God. But as you know, with moving house, I remember when we moved into our apartment, newly married, you basically show up and it's an empty shell. And we're having dinner, weren't we, love, on the picnic basket for a bunch of weeks until we could afford the table. We were just having kebabs and enchiladas and soup on this picnic basket with a rug in the living room. Unbelievable memories that we look back on and we're very, very thankful for. So just get that visual, that concept in your mind. Don't be expecting we're walking in and boom, we're ready. It's going to take us a lot of time, a lot of effort, energy, but it's exciting. Let me tell you, as someone who was here 7-8 years ago, when we moved into this building, which is the space that we rent, we don't own the space. We're about to own that building, which is very exciting. We came in here, didn't we? And it was pretty much just, let's do church. It was raw, rugged. It was awesome. Give us a wave if you were here all those years ago. Bunch of legends, and welcome to the exciting journey of occupying a new building if you've not been with us since then. And you can tell I've been here for 7-8 years because of the gray hairs I've got on my head now that is from the stress of ministry. I'm just joking, there's no stress. I love working with you guys. You make it very easy. Manchester campus, they make it tough. But yes, new year, and some of you will have journals on your seats. We turns out today, amongst many things we were contending with, we had one box of journals when we should have had a lot more. So if you don't get one today, we'll endeavor to make sure you get one over the next few weeks. But I'd love to encourage you, journal or no journal, to get a word from God for this year, to spend some time changing your habits, to re-envisioning your life, to setting some goals and targets, faith aspirations in Jesus' name, because in the natural sense, not a lot changes from the 31st of December to the 1st of January, but a new year signifies a new start. And the Bible says in Isaiah, God speaking says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" And I don't know about you, but I want to be amongst those people that perceive the new thing that God is doing in Jesus' name. So talking about perceiving, I've got a message I want to share today that is a rehash, a fresh look at a message I preached some 7 months ago in June on one of our free weeks out of our series at the time. And it's a message I believe is going to kick us off into 2025 with a bang. And it is called I See. Turn to your neighbor and say, I see. I see. Now, I think with me for a time in your life where you've had a moment, a time, a season where there was just such a significant delay. Maybe it was you were getting on a train and the train was delayed, or you were catching a flight and the flights were delayed. I had that last year flying from Krakow in Poland to Frankfurt. We were delayed there for some 48 hours and we arrived here on Sunday morning just in time to preach at church. An inconvenient delay. I think one of the most significant was the time when I planned to go visit my granny in Birmingham after church. She gives me a call and she lived in Birmingham at the time. I'm living here, obviously. And she said, "Lee, I'd love it if you came down to visit." So I said, "Of course, Gran, I'd love to come visit." So I got back home from church and my phone was, you know, very low on battery, and I set an alarm and I thought it'll be fine. You know, I've got enough charge in that to get me to Birmingham. And I woke up, turns out my phone died midway through my snooze after church. Anybody in the room going to admit to a post-church nap in the afternoon? We got some nap fans in the room. nap and woke up, was already behind. Looked at my phone, it had died, hadn't gone off. So I quickly got a charger and put it in my car and set off on the way to Birmingham. But after about 20 minutes of driving, my charger turns out was broken and the phone had only come back a couple of percent. It died again. And I'm on my way to Birmingham and I kind of have her address, but I have absolutely no idea how to get there. I hadn't driven there before in my life. So I pull over to some service station, I open up the laptop and I kind of look at roughly where it is and what turns I should take. And about 3 hours later of driving and heading in the wrong directions, I am really stuck at this point. And she used to be in the police, so she's probably freaking out, thinking I got kidnapped or abducted or I vanished, something like that. I've no way of letting her know that I'm still on my way, I'm just severely delayed. And I'm driving through the country somewhere near where she lives. Again, I have no idea where I'm driving. And I pull into a pub, I kind of know the address, and I run into this pub and I play what I like to call the Irish card. Ran into the pub, made a big scene, and I said, "Will somebody help me? I'm Irish, I'm from Ireland, and I'm lost." And as quick as you can imagine, the guy sitting at the bar turns around and goes, "Well, you're definitely lost because this isn't Ireland, this is Birmingham." And I'm like, "I know that. I know I'm not in Ireland. Thank you very much. But here's the address I'm looking for." Another 30 minutes later, I arrive at my nan's house. She was panicking, freaking out, worried, trying to call me. And it turned into a great trip. But what should have taken me an hour and a half took me the guts of 5 or 6 hours of driving down to Birmingham to try and find my nan and where she lives. Now, I think for all of us, we've had moments where we've been delayed, haven't we? Where things that we're hoping for, believing for, dreaming of, seem very distant and far off on the horizon. And often we can interpret the delay as the denial. I, many times on that journey, thought to myself, maybe I'm just not meant to visit my nan this weekend because things just aren't lining up. Things just aren't looking how I think they should. There's delay after delay after delay. And when it comes to our Christian faith and our walk with God, we are in danger of mistaking God's delay for God's denial. And I want to suggest today, as we kickstart 2025, that the delay in your life isn't God's denial, but what has delayed you is about to supply you in Jesus' name. But this all comes down to what we see and our perspective and how we interpret what is on the horizon of our lives. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I see. I see." We pick up this story from 1 Kings, the account of Elijah, one of the most significant prophets in the Bible. And for a couple of verses, we're going to jump around, but I'd love to encourage you to read 1 Kings 17, 18, gives you the full picture. But for the sake of time, we're going to pick out some key verses in the story that we're going to preach from. So 1 Kings 17, verse 1 says this. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, whom I serve, lives, says, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.'" Verse 7, "Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Chapter 18, verse 1 says, "After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah." So I want you to note this. He gets a word from God in the middle of the third year that says, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." So here we have Elijah, a significant prophet in the Old Testament, one of the few people to actually not die, but be called up to heaven to not experience death because the Lord brought him up in quite a dramatic way in chariots of fire to be with him in heaven. In fact, another person that went through the same thing was Enoch, two people to not experience death to be called to heaven. So you can just imagine the significance of this guy. In fact, Jesus, when he began his ministry, asked the disciples and the people, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say Moses, some say John, you know, has come back. Others say Elijah." That's how significant Elijah was as a prophet, as a voice to the people of Israel, that Jesus was compared to Elijah. And here we've got Elijah, who is having this confrontational moment with the king of Ahab, and his evil wife Jezebel. They're worshiping idols at this point in the story, and they're turning the people away from God. He's got this moment in time where God gives him a word. Many people love it when God gives you a word. It's awesome, isn't it? God gives him a word, and he speaks the word that there will be no rain, and there wasn't for 3.5 years. Not a problem we have in the UK, is it? For 3.5 years, there was no rain. And then God gives him another word in the third year that the rain will come. But in this moment, there's a gap between God's word and its coming to pass. See, Elijah right now is existing in a place called the delay. Many moons ago, I went on a great trip to Malawi called the Warm Heart of Africa. Shout out to Malawi from Lizzie in the second row. I think her email actually is MalawiLizzie, isn't it? At AOL.com. Is that right? Oh, I'm impressed. I didn't prep. That's good. So if you've got any complaints about today's service, please email MalawiLizzie@AOL.com. She'd be happy to take them all on board. And I went to Malawi and went to Mount Melange, and we'd done some gospel crusades, and it was awesome. And I remember this one time, really quickly, I'll tell you, we were doing a gospel crusade, and there was no faith in the atmosphere. And what do I mean by that? I mean, we preach the word of God, and we open up the altar for people to come get prayed for and ministered to and touched. And it was quite unusual because nobody came forward. But I saw on the horizon, there was the local witch doctor painted in total white with headdresses, watching on from the weeds of bulrushes. And people were scared to move because of, you know, the system and the witch doctor. But what happened was one person came forward and we prayed for them. Then another little girl came up in a crowd of a couple of hundred. And she was deaf, and really quickly she couldn't hear. We prayed for her. She ran back to her mom. Her mom started crying. She was crying, and she heard for the first time. So it was like faith erupted and ignited in the atmosphere, and everybody came forward. And we were praying, singing, worshiping right into the darkness, into the rain. Couldn't see anything. It was just pouring down with rain, but we were banging on the drums. People were getting saved, set free. It was awesome because of one person's faith that ignited something in the room. But normally, and what I experienced in Malawi was everywhere was just like, was this beautiful orange color. It was like dry and dusty because rain, you know, wasn't as usual or frequent for us here. And Elijah's got this context right now where for 3.5 years, it doesn't rain. The land is dusty. It's barren. It's like a wasteland. And for 3.5 years, the people are experiencing this disappointment day after day, asking each other, do you think it'll rain today? And it not raining and being disappointed. Day after day, filled with the disappointment of unmet expectations because it had not yet rained. So Elijah has this word from God that at an appointed time, it's going to rain. But he's living in this moment with a very real sense of disappointment of the unfulfilled promise from God. Verse 1 says this, after a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. He's given the word in the middle of drought, but yet the circumstances had not changed. He's got a word from God, yet everything he sees is exactly the same as yesterday. He's got a word from God, but everything he can see in the natural sense on the horizon looks just like yesterday. There's no rain, there's no cloud, there's no sign of change in the physical atmosphere to indicate that rain is coming. But Elijah, by faith, in verse 41 says this. He says to the king Ahab, get up, celebrate with food and drink, because I hear the sound of a rainstorm coming. In the natural sense, he didn't hear the rainstorm. He couldn't see the clouds, couldn't see the rain. But now he's got a word from God. He's got something to bank on, to rely on, to depend on, even when everything in the natural sense said there is no chance of that word coming to fulfillment. And I want to tell you at the start of 2025 that a word from God changes everything. It's a promise of what is going to be, a deposit that something in the natural world is going to shift, a guarantee that God is moving mountains in the heavenly places. And so today, if you're in a season starting this new year where all you see is disappointment, barrenness, wasteland, very little on the horizon of your life, I want to encourage you, Audacious Church, get a word from God to stand on, depend on, to be your anchor, to rely on, to be sure on. Because when you get a word from God, you've got a guarantee that everything is about to shift and change at the appointed time in Jesus' name. So now Elijah's got a word, but like we've said already, he's in the gap. Nothing in the natural sense has shifted, has changed. He right now is in the delay. Maybe you're saying, Pastor Lee, I've got a word. I know what my word is for my life. I know what my word is for this year already. I know what my word is for this season. But right now, like Elijah, you're existing in the delay. Many years ago, I was at a conference. We were sitting, it was some random preacher in a random church in Northern Ireland. And he was calling people out to get prayed for, and people were getting blessed, and it was cool. And he says this name, he says, there's someone in the room, and they know a guy called Tyler. And I look at my mates, they look at me, I've got a younger brother called Tyler. And I look at them, I'm like, oh, Jinky's talking about me. They're like, I don't know, maybe. So I say nothing, I sit there. And the guy stands there, confident as you like, and he says, there's somebody in the room who knows a person called Tyler. And so I stood up and said, yes, that's my brother. And the guy began to prophesy and declare about how God has seen all of the sleepless nights and the tears that I've cried over the fact my brother doesn't yet know God, but there's going to come a moment where he's going to get saved. So you can imagine how much that blessed me and touched me. But the reality is now, some, let's say, 8 years on, 7 years on, probably longer, I'm yet to see that word come to pass. In fact, I'm existing in the middle of the delay. Maybe for you, you've got a word on your heart like Joshua did. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But yet your family, your parents, your kids don't yet know the Lord. You're existing in the delay. Maybe you've got big dreams, big aspirations for your business or for your life that are yet to come to pass. And you find yourself existing in the middle of the delay, in the gap. Now, what Elijah does in the gap is interesting. He sends his servant to go and look for signs that the rain is on its way. In fact, the Bible says it like this from verse 41 to 45 of 1 Kings. It says, Elijah then said to Ahab, get up, celebrate with food and drink, because I hear the sound of a rainstorm coming. So Ahab got up to celebrate with food and drink, but Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees. He says to his assistant, please get up and look toward the sea. So the assistant did so. He says, what are you on about? I don't see anything. 7 times, Elijah said, do it again. Then the 7th time, the assistant said, I see a small cloud the size of a human hand coming up from the sea. Elijah said, go back and tell Ahab, pull yourself together. Go down the mountain and don't let the rain hold you back. After a little while, the sky became dark with clouds and the wind came up with a huge rainstorm. Can you imagine the scene? If you're believing for a rainstorm for 3.5 years, but all you can see on the horizon is a small cloud the size of a man's hand. Can you imagine the sense of disappointment, of frustration? Is that really it, God? Is that all you're going to do? You've promised me great things, but right now all I see is this tiny, insignificant cloud in my life. Did you know God often gives us signs of what is to come? But instead of us allowing it to ignite faith in our life, we cast our hopes in the sea of disappointment and negativity. It's only an interview. It's not the job I was believing for. It's only a small pay increase. It's not the pay increase I was believing for. It's only a minimal improvement in my health. It's not what I believed for. It's only a temporary accommodation. It's not what I wanted it to be. My friends, they came to church once and they didn't become Christians. It's not what I prayed for. It's just a tiny little something. It's not going to amount to much. So often, God can send us a sign, and instead of us allowing it to ignite faith and passion and determination, we get so downcast and negative and bitter. And the reality here is the assistant can see very little and nothing on the horizon. And Elijah says to him 7 times, look again, look again, look again, look again. He was so determined and stuck to the word of God that he knew God was about to pull through. 7 times, look again, look again, look again. His head was in his knees, bowed to the ground, because he didn't need to see it in the natural world because he already saw it by faith. He knew in his spirit that God was about to do something in the natural world. So he sends his assistant, who then sees the cloud, that the rain is on its way. I want to encourage you, you don't need to see it to believe it. You need to perceive it. Isaiah 43:19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now I see the cloud, the size of a man's hand. Did you know the cloud is the sign that the word is on its way? I see a cloud that the interview is a sign that the job is coming in Jesus' name. I see a cloud that the pregnancy is going to result in the full birth of a child in Jesus' name. I see a cloud. I see a cloud that my family coming to church is an indication that they're going to get saved, baptized, released, and sent into the kingdom of God. I see a cloud that the doctor's slight improvement in my health is a sign that my healing is on the way in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, Chester, on this 5th of January 2025, that God's word for your life is on its way. I see a cloud in Jesus' name. I see a cloud. What is it you need to look for on the horizon of your life that is no longer going to cause you to spiral down, but is going to cause you to wind upwards in faith? You don't need to see it to believe it. You simply need to perceive it. I see a cloud. Jeremiah 1, 11 to 12. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, Jeremiah the prophet replies. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. So if God has given you a word from the Bible, a promise on your life, he is watching by his spirit that his word is about to be fulfilled. You've got a promise that God will fulfill his word. Isaiah 55, 11. Love this, so shall my word. We're going KJV, we're going old school this morning. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in whereto I sent it. The word is on its way. 2025, I see a cloud. And these clouds have more than silver linings. These clouds have promise. They have fulfillment. They've got destiny. They've got ambition. This isn't just a nice little New Year's message to get you fired up for your goals and for your resolutions. This is something that if you hold on to God's word and you believe it, you'll see extraordinary things happen in your life, in your marriage, in your business, in your heart, and in our church. In Jesus' name, I see a cloud. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith, everybody say faith. Faith, nice English accent that. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, faith, if you do not see it, you've got to see it by faith. Elijah's head's in his knees 7 times, look again. I think today some of you have got to go and look again. Some things you think the delay is a denial and God's about to supply and open up the door in Jesus' name. You've got to look again, look again, look again, look again, look again. Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith, confidence, but what we do not yet see. In, the early years of our journey of being campus pastors, God actually put it on our hearts pretty early that one day we would own our own building. And it seemed like an absolute crazy faith exploit at the time. We were miles from it, but we started to pray, didn't we? I got some people together, some of our team, and we started to believe and pray. And there's a building not too far from here, a massive building that we used to inspire faith. And we believed that God would grant us, give us a building. So for a long time we prayed, we got together, we spoke it out, we declared, we done what we could do in the natural sense, but more than the natural sense, we got a word. We got something in our spirit to carry and hold on to. And so when the sign came up across the road, in a lot of ways, it would have been easy for me to get disappointed because it wasn't the massive building that we saw, which is way bigger than that, way down the road. But what I love about this is the sign was the promise that the word was on the way. See, God had used this other building to ignite faith. So we went on this journey of look again, look again, look again, look again. And eventually, the natural order of things caught up with the word of God. And in a matter of weeks, we're going to be walking across the road into our new space, which three people are still excited about. I love it because is it complicated? Is it bringing us, you know, more delay than we'd like? Absolutely. But let me tell you, we're going to be so thankful in 10, 20, 30 years to come because of what God done through us. The fact we as a church, picture this like the Israelites, get to walk across the river, the road, like they did at the River Jordan, and step into the promised land, which was the fulfillment of the word that God had promised them. I don't really know of any other church building campaigns where they just walk across the road like the Israelites did into the new space. That's exciting. I'm a bit of a Bible nerd. Maybe that just gets me excited. But it's a sign of the word on the way. But we went on a journey where we had to hold on to the word. Even though we didn't see it, even though we didn't know what it would look like, faith was the confidence in the unknown and the assurance about what we did not yet see. Elijah could not see it in the natural, but he's seen it, perceived it already in his spirit. And there's some things today and this week God's going to put in your heart that look so far from reality in the natural order of the way things currently are. But faith is the assurance, the confidence about what we do not yet see. That's why it makes no sense to unbelievers that we speak a language of healing, of hope, of breakthrough, of positivity, because all they can see in their revelation, which is absent, is the way things are. But we are spiritual beings, spiritual people. We have God's Holy Spirit inside of us, giving us authority and power and anointing that we can see and perceive that which is not already in place. And so we walk and we move towards it by faith. The miracle was miles away, but because of faith through Elijah, God brought the word into pass. It's faith, it's your tool today. Faith is the tool that causes you to see. Back when I was at Bible college, we'd done some street ministry. It was kind of our thing. We loved it. And on the way home one night, we would just hang out, pray for people. Most of the time, not a lot happened. We were just out late, having McDonald's, telling people about Jesus, getting told to go away, leave them alone. But in a lot more colorful language than that, because it's Belfast, as you can imagine, you know, get lost. And it just didn't deter us. We kept going. And one night on the way home, we just seen this sign that said, off the back of some restaurant, said, feed lots of hungry tummies. And in the natural sense, it means very little. It's an advert to a restaurant. But in my spirit, I just felt God speak to me and say, do what the sign says, go and feed hungry tummies. So we went to a queue outside a hostel where a lot of homeless people were getting a bed for the night queued up. And we just went down the line. And for some students, it cost us a lot. We didn't have a lot in the bank, but we took an order from everybody for a McDonald's. And they didn't believe that we'd do it, but we pulled through, came back. And this one guy called Steve, and he was so blown away. He's like, I can't believe you do this for me. Tell me why. And we shared the gospel with Stephen. And there in the street, in front of the hostel, Stephen gave his life to Jesus. Remarkable moment. And we helped plug him into a local church, get him a Bible. And it takes us to go beyond the natural way of things, to see things in the spiritual sense. And that doesn't mean that it's always going to pan out, look like what you thought it did. In fact, for the assistant, it took him 7 attempts to go and see until he began to see the miracle of God come to pass. It requires faith. It might not look like on the much on the horizon of your life right now, but I promise you the word of God is coming to pass. I see the fulfillment of God's word on its way. I don't see the miracle, but I see the sign. The book of James says this, chapter 5, verse 17. to come to land, says Elijah was a human being. Oh, how humbling is that? How helpful is that? He was a human being. A couple of human beings in here today, I can be sure of that. He was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly. That's why we're praying and fasting over 3 days this week. Prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain over the land for 3.5 years, according to the word he was given. And then at the right time, he prayed from the word of God at the right time, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Faith is what we activate to instigate the fulfillment of the word of God. Elijah was a human just as we are, but he was able to see. Over your life, I see a cloud. Over our church, I see a cloud. What do you see? 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 I see a cloud. I see a church that makes a statement, growing and grounded in timeless truth for this generation and the next. I see a church not just of tens, of hundreds, but of thousands in Jesus' name. I see revival in the school, high moral standards in the marketplace. I see a generation that goes to the nations with the good news of the gospel to the unreached. I see miracle offerings that step us into new spheres of influence. I see an end to injustice. I see whole families at the altar breaking generational curses in Jesus' name. I see prodigal sons and daughters coming home to the arms of God. I see jobs, opportunities that no man could close the door on. I see those who form laws in the political sphere turn to and start to heal the nation. I see a generation who would rather die to their preference because Jesus died to his preference on the cross. I see unity where there has been division. I see bridges where there have been walls, mending of fractured relationships. I see a generation filled with faith who would pursue the promises of God, though it costs us all we have. We lay it all down for the one who laid it all down for us. I see a cloud right across this place. Jump to your feet if you're able. Oh, just start to lift your hands up to the Lord right now. Just start to let His Holy Spirit minister to your spirit and to your mind and to your heart and to your body right now. What do you see? Start to speak it out in faith. It looks nothing like the natural order of things right now, but by faith it is coming to pass in Jesus' name. I see the end of wars that rage across Europe and the resurrection, the instability of justice and peace where it's needed. I see missionaries from this house continuing to be sent like the Abbeys have already to the nations. I see more Pete Woodings who tomorrow goes to Ukraine, to Donetsk to minister. I see more leaders of leaders who are going to stand in the gap and be the agents of change for this generation and the next. I see people ministering, healing on the streets, praying for friends in the workplace and the marketplace. People getting healed, saved, set free, because we were never meant to be confined to the four walls of a church. We were meant to be unleashed to the nations by the power of God. I see people filled with the Holy Spirit, like the Azusa Street Revival, where people would be overcome by the presence of God and would get up changed, marked, and renewed. I see more Pentecostal people in this place in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, right now, fill us up. Fill us up, fill us up. God, we want another Pentecost in 2025 in Jesus' name. Lord, may we encounter your presence like never before. If you can speak in tongues, just begin to speak in tongues in this place. Start to stir it up in your spirit till you can no longer even speak English and just start to declare the goodness of God. Oh, come on, there's a prayer meeting in this place. Oh, let's turn this into some inspiration that's a declaration that becomes a move from God. Start to intercede for your family right now, for your friends. They don't yet know God, but by faith, they know God in Jesus' name. Come on, don't miss this moment. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let the awkwardness get you out of this moment. Just start to pray, start to declare. Oh, come on, I see a cloud, I see a cloud, I see a cloud. I see a cloud, I see a cloud, I see a cloud. Oh, come on, keep going. It's been 2 minutes. There's more in you. Oh, we're Holy Spirit-filled people. Come on. Come on, start to press in, tap in, press in.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, 2025, pour out your fire on our church and in our campus in Jesus' name. Set us alight for the things of God that nothing else will do except the presence and the voice of God in Jesus' name. Come on, another minute, dig deeper. Oh, you've had longer prayer meetings than this. Come on, start to press in. Youth leaders, start to pray for the young people this year. Young adults, start to declare over your generation that this isn't the lost generation that step out of church, but that get deeper in church. Oh, for those evergreens out there, God's not done with you yet. If you've still got breath in your lungs, you've got an assignment and a mission on this planet to raise up the next generation of leaders. Oh God, put people on hearts today. Give us pictures of the future. Give us a fire that is unrelenting in our hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Somebody's got, there's people in here that have got books on their heart that are either in process or are yet to be written. But when I say that, there's just part of your spirit that either resonates or you feel a little bit awkward because you know that's you. God's put a book in your spirit, and I believe 2025 is both the year that you're going to write it and release it in Jesus' name. Hey, if that's you, no one looking around, lift your hand to heaven right now. We're going to pray. Hands going up, hands going up, hands going up. Praise you, God. There's some words in our spirits that are going to be formulated and are going to become a legacy that will inspire the nations in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Jesus, give the words, God, where there are no words. Give spiritual words, spiritual formula, visions from heaven in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you've got some family members that don't yet know God and you've been pleading, contending, crying, you know when I say this, it hits a nerve because your family aren't yet in church like mine. We're going to pray for the prodigals right now. I'm done with the days where they don't come into church and they're happy watching faith through their family but not through their own life. I see a cloud that the word of God is coming to pass, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Like Joshua said, if that's you, lift your hands up right now and start to change your language as you pray for them. Don't ask God, start to declare like it is. Line up your words in your spirit with the word of God. Start to say, yes, I agree that this year is the year that they will walk into the house of God, into the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Sons, daughters, coming home in Jesus' name. Mums, dads, coming home in Jesus' name. Cousins, coming home in Jesus' name. Nieces and nephews coming home in Jesus' name. Distant relatives coming into the house of God, the presence of the Lord, where they're going to get set free from addiction. They're going to get set free from the bondage they're in. They're going to get baptized and released. They're going to become the preachers, the worship leaders, those on production, the car park team, the hosts. They're going to sit in our new building, though they're not here right now in the natural sense. Oh, we see a cloud that sits in that new space in Jesus' name and has a name on it. God, we know you're not done. Your heart is for humanity. So God, we call them home. In Jesus' name, we call them home. We call them home.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.